to anybody who will testify this morning that you made it this far by the grace. Nothing but the grace. Nothing but the grace of God. No, we shouldn't be here. We could have been pushing up flowers, locked up in prison, but we're here this morning because of the grace of Almighty God. I want to take that text and begin a series, Rediscovering Jesus. The title this morning is Jesus' Initial Sermon. Jesus' initial sermon. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorified your name this morning. But now comes the preaching moment. And even though this flesh is not weary, I thank you that my soul has been washed in your blood so that I can stand up here and proclaim your word. Even though your blood has washed me, you still need to search me. You need to try me. You need to look into my very being, because sin is in all of us. Sin is destructive. So whatever might hinder this word, oh Lord, I just ask you to remove it, no matter how painful it might be. Give me that clarity of sight, of mind, and of speech. Because we want to rediscover you this morning, Jesus. And then, oh Lord, as always, I call on you to give me the strength to proclaim this word. And because you've done it before, I'm going to stand on your promises and know that you're going to do it again. In Jesus' name, amen. Rediscovering Jesus. Jesus' initial sermon. You know, last Sunday, Sarita preached about a warning from Jesus. Babe got just about everybody's attention before she got started. However, I have to wonder, other than knowing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, an act of God putting on human flesh, what we in theological circles call incarnation. In other words, the fact that Jesus was born, that was enough to save our sins. Most of us know Jesus suffered and died on Calvary's cross for our sins, and that God got Jesus up with all power. We know many of the miracles of Jesus, changing water into wine, giving sight to the blind, even raising the dead. How do I feel that we have sanitized Jesus? Sanitize Jesus just like we did for so many other things. Can I start with Thanksgiving? People giving thanks for surviving and then going out and taking the land. Not just taking the land, but killing the people who live on the land. See, for with Native Americans, there was no concept of ownership of land. Sure, one tribe might exist in one place and another tribe in a different place, however, nothing was on. That's why the settlers could come and live on the land where nobody else did. That's a story we don't tell. The same holds true for slavery. When we are portrayed even on the money as being happy, when that was anything but the case. Both men and women were raped. Families were separated. What's happening on our borders is nothing new. On Wednesday night, I told you about the exhibit that opened at the Black History Museum and Cultural Center of Virginia. We call it Paradox. Paradox because the man who wrote the words that all men were endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Thomas Jefferson denied 609 Africans their God-given inalienable rights. We clean up the story of the treatment of Native Americans. We clean up the story of the treatment of Africans in these United States. And my brothers and sisters, we have cleaned up the story of Jesus. But Jesus wasn't just holy, meek, and mild. Jesus was not on the list of the 100 most liked individuals in Jerusalem. Even the crucifixion that we rightly celebrate, we clean that up also. Oh, let me make it real plain to you. It was the same as execution by firing squad. It was the same as being electrocuted in Old Smoky at the Old State Penitentiary. If Jesus' crucifixion was to be held on tomorrow, Jesus would be rolled in on a gurney. A needle would be placed in his arm. And that three-drug cocktail would be administered, which would result in death. Well, we cleaned up the death of Jesus. We cleaned up Jesus' life because Jesus came to bring a little bit of heaven here on earth. And let's just be honest, that was a revolutionary thing. But that would mean there would be no hunger. That would mean there would be no homelessness. That would mean every human being would be treated right. Women would be treated as equal. Slavery would never have existed on these shores. There would have never been the genocide of Native Americans. We say we are Christians, but do we know Jesus? But more importantly, do people who say that they know him act like they know him? Oh, we can quote and tell others what Paul said needs to be done. But Paul didn't die for my sins. And Paul is doing nothing but making suggestions to the churches that he has established. And because we don't read the Bible, especially the Gospels, most many evangelicals, and that's a misnomer, well, they won't even share the Gospel with people that they look down on. They will use certain verses in the Bible to condemn people for their sins, which are on their happiness, instead of sharing the love of Jesus. They endorse the lies and hate, the lies and hate we see every day. The flag to them even comes before Jesus. And in order to maintain privilege under the guise of religious freedom, they say our religious freedoms are being taken away. No, they're not being taken away. I can still get up here and preach. I can still pray. I can go out in the street praising God, but I can't make you do what I want. So a few weeks, I'll stop when God says so. I'm going to preach portions of the Bible that many overlook or have learned that. We'll start this morning in the Gospel of Luke. And in the future, I will not limit my teachings to Luke, for they are things in plain view that need to be exposed in all four views of Jesus, the four Gospels. The first thing the text shows us is Jesus was a worshiper. We know as a boy he was drugged to worship, just like many of us out there. It's just that Jesus kept coming. But after being baptized, after being tempted by the devil, Jesus went back to Nazareth where he was raised. And on the Sabbath, it was Saturday for Jesus, while on Sunday, it was as far as Sunday for us. And while many have to work on Sunday, it would not be the case if many of us did not shop on Sunday. Yeah, we can pull ass. Y'all know I'm in the fellowship there at Calvin University. Down there, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you know. Had to get a few things to eat after church on Sunday. Serena and I stopped, pick up a few things, parking lot packed. Serena said, we're taking you so long. 3 o'clock, many of the shelves empty. Oh, well, it just fellowship. They standing out, blocked out. I can't even get to the ring. All the people standing around. When I go back to Campbell, like I go back down there a few more times, I'm going to shop in North Carolina on Saturday. See, for there should be one day. One day that we give entirely for God for all the things that God has done for us. The text said he went to the synagogue as he normally did. Not just when he felt like it. Not just when it didn't interfere with the other things of life. You know, I know life is complicated. However, there have always been distractions when it comes to worshiping. Or doing slavery, even though Christianity was used to make us better slaves. some master set up some of the destructive things we see in our men today. Set up organized fights and the games of chance for them and planned alcohol. That was then. However, now Christian leaders are struggling with the fact that most people only attend church 2 Sundays out of the month. Well, if people knew the truth about Jesus and accepted the truth of Jesus, some folk might leave. However, I believe the ones who stayed and the others who came would do much better. Well, Jesus went into that synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. And so when you get a phone call saying, when you read scripture on Sunday, you're doing the exact thing that Jesus did. In fact, don't wait until you ask. Read your Bible every day. Read it aloud, for the Bible was written to be heard. And not only was Jesus going to read, Jesus knew the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that you should be able to quote chapter and verse. I'm going to be honest. Your pastor, I'm your pastor, and I can't do that. But I know the things, the Old Testament, where God moves in a people. And that's the problem with present Christianity today. We've made Christianity an individual thing when God always moves in a group of people. See, God just didn't move in Pastor Ed, though. God just didn't move in a few deacons and the trustees. God moved in a people called New Hope Fellowship, and God wants us to move even more. And then we got the New Testament. Jesus comes to make things right between humankind and God, and God's love is written all over both. See, knowing the Bible is not about impressing other people. Knowing the Bible will help you help others, and knowing the Bible will help you in your time of need. Verse 17 says, the synagogue assistant gave Jesus the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And to me, that was more than a coincidence. But many call the book of Isaiah the Old Testament gospel. For Isaiah speaks of the coming of Jesus, not just of his coming, but the suffering. You know, the story of the suffering servant that was part of our Bible study 2 weeks ago. And I shared how we used to read it in the church I grew up in every Sunday when we had communion. And if you go to the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading about the suffering servant while he was on the way. He asked Philip who he was, and Philip said he was Jesus, and with that, the eunuch was baptized. See, I won't go into the other prophecies of Isaiah. I just know when the scroll was passed, by the time that Jesus, they didn't have books, you know. The Bible was written on papyrus scrolls, material similar to thick paper that was used as a writing surface. And because Jesus knew the Bible, when he unrolled the scroll, he found in that huge scroll exactly what he wanted to say. Jesus was getting ready to preach his initial sermon, and because he was God, he didn't need a manuscript like me. However, I'm not ashamed of that fact, for I'm just being my authentic self and giving you the word the way God intended for me to give it. And see, that might be another problem with Christianity today. A lot of preaching is just imitating other preachers. A lot of preaching is just about style. A lot of preaching is preaching hard and saying nothing. Getting on them, getting your hoop on. Well, Jesus picked the text and he didn't abandon the text because the Holy Spirit was with him. Contrary to what some might think, Jesus didn't have to speak in tongues. Jesus didn't have to work up a sweat. Jesus didn't have to resort to pulling out those preaching phrases. You know, the one that pull your heartstrings up. The one that give you a cheap shout. Cheap because it only lasts for a moment when most of us need some encouragement to get us through the week. See, the initial sermon sets the foundation for one's preaching. And that's why mine was focused on Jesus. And since it was, I need to let Jesus' initial sermon have real meaning in my life. But even though he was God, in order for the part of his body that was human to be able to do what it needed to do, Jesus needed the Spirit of God to be on his ministry. And if Jesus needed the Spirit of God, I need the Spirit of God. New Hope Fellowship needs the Spirit of God. Anybody involved in ministry in this church, you need to let the Spirit of God pour bread and fresh on you. Not just on Sunday morning, but each and every day. See, for God has all given all of us an anointing. An anointing simply means something to do. And if you don't know what your anointing is, go to a quiet place. Don't open your mouth. Remove all the distractions. And then be bold enough to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Or Jesus said, the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And it wasn't no prosperity gospel. It was a gospel of change. The same change that Jesus was talking about in Serena's sermon last Sunday. And it starts right up in the church. But we need to change the way we look at Scripture. We need to let go of some of the traditions we brought from Master's Church that is keeping us from being set free. See, for the music might be different in our church. The style of preaching might be different. But when it's all said and done, too many of our churches are nothing but white churches with a black facade. Yeah, I said it, and I said it again. And others wanted to stay that way. But James Cone tried to teach us how to read Scripture with our own eyes, and they renewed their attack on him a few weeks ago, calling his theology heresy. But if it is, they have to say the same thing about Jesus, because Jesus meets us right where we are. See, good news this morning from Jesus would be access to adequate health care. Good news this morning from Jesus would be the ability to earn a living wage. Good news this morning from Jesus would be access to affordable housing. Good news from Jesus this morning would be the ability to develop all of our God-given gifts. Good news from Jesus this morning would be the end of mass incarceration, because black lives would matter. Good news this morning from Jesus would be the acknowledgement by all that all people are made in the image of God. See, God saw our situation on earth, a situation that was totally different from what God created. So Jesus came to bring some heaven right here on earth. And if we say we are following Jesus, we need to do the same. Jesus wanted the poor to have real joy right here on earth. We don't have to wait until we die to have joy. Jesus came to release the prisoners. And they are prisoners of a lot of things. Prisoners of unjust laws, Jesus released them. Prisoners of substances, Jesus released them. Prisoners of dead traditions of men right up in God's house, Jesus released them. Prisoners of our own self-hate and feeling of lacking, Jesus released them. See, Jesus preached not just good news to the poor, not just the release to the prisoners, but recovery of sight to the blind. Lord, let us see what your word is saying. Lord, let us see some of the things we're doing to destroy your creation. Lord, let us see the hurt in our brothers and sisters. Lord, let us see how we're destroying ourselves. Lord, let us see how we are being co-conspirators with those who are holding back. Lord, we are blind in so many ways. Lord, restore our life. Jesus said, he was anointed to liberate the oppressed. Oh, Jesus would have been there been there with those in those concentration camps on our border. Jesus would be there with those Native Americans whose land is being polluted by fracking and pipelines. Jesus would be there with those who are wrongly incarcerated, their people being oppressed on their job. Children are being oppressed at school. People are being oppressed in their own home. People are being oppressed right up in God's house. And because Jesus came to remove oppression, if we said we follow him in the church and everything we do for, if the church is the bride of Christ, church should be more than singing. Church should be more than shouting. Church should be more than having a good time. We should be doing what God has anointed New Hope Fellowship to do. And as individuals, we need to do the same. And if we do, verse 19 would become a reality. We would be able to proclaim the year of favor. The Lord's favor. We ain't already talking about faith. And let's be honest, all of us want faith. Just so you want, make sure that you want favor that will last. And I have to believe, if we stop sanitizing the life and death of Jesus, and then we were bold enough to preach the good news to the poor, for the poor in this land need some good news, to proclaim release of the prisoners, for a few are profiting too much on the imprisonment of many, to start restoring the sight to the blind by removing the blind spots that society won't remove, and opening eyes to the empowering gospel of Jesus Christ, not the theology that has kept our minds enslaved for so long, and the perverted theology we see and hear every day that negates so many. Do those things, but whatever you do will help. And we will, I said we will, we will be able to proclaim. I can't wait for it to come. The year of, maybe the decade of, maybe the century of, a year of favor. A year of favor in God's time. Because in God's time, that could be a real long time. A year of the Lord, that said the Lord's favor. When men, women, boys and girls, people of all nationalities and races, people who even look at God from the other side of the mountain, even those we condemn because of their sexual preferences, when sometimes our sexual behavior is even worse, the Lord's favor. Oh, that's deliverance, church. Do you want deliverance this morning? That's healing, church. Is there anybody that wants healing? That's forgiveness, church. All of us need forgiveness. That's being set free. God wants all of us to be free. That's something we need for ourselves because we serve a God. God's favor. It's for all of God's people. Do everything you can to make sure that day of favor. Are you waiting for your favor, church, this morning? Favor of God, not the favor of man. He gives you favor 1 minute and the next minute he takes it away. But the favor of God, favor that is everlasting. I say everlasting, that means it will never end. Favor that you can have in this life, and favor that you'll have in glory. Oh, I'm glad I'm going to glory, but I want some favor right now. I'm tired of being talked about. I'm tired of being abused and misused. And if I got the favor of God, doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. They put those holes my enemies dig in the road. Oh, God makes my enemies my footstool. God catches them holes. God opens up another round and passes it another way. I'm preaching this thing this morning because I know about the favor of God. I know how men tried to knock me down, how they tried to even take my license, but God's favor was on me. And I thank God for his favor. And if there's one thing you need to do, read the scripture. Read it over And I know, I believe that the God I serve, the God we serve, that God will work out. Amen. 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 Amen.